So at that moment, I realized, whoa, I'm not living in congruency with who I really say I want to be, the change that I really say I want to make. So it gave me a moment to look at things differently. I got a chance to change the lens. And that's one of the steps that I would really recommend someone out there to do.
Welcome to another episode of the Blemished Beauty Podcast. This podcast was designed with you in mind. If you're ready to erase the norm and embrace the truth, come pull up a chair, grab a journal, and tell a friend that your favorite Jersey girl is back with another episode. So let's get into it.
Hey, y'all, and welcome to another episode of the Blemished Beauty Podcast with your favorite Jersey girl, Shira Renee. Now, in this episode, I have the pleasure of sitting down with Kima Possibilities. And Kima is a storyteller of transformation. She is a coach who helps you see the masterpiece within, and a creative who believes in the power of possibility. She is a survivor of homelessness and has dealt with loss. She is also the CEO of Planning with Possibilities and author of the journal titled From Grief to Grace. I want you to take a listen to this episode as we dive into her journey. This episode is entitled From Grief to Grace, and I hope that you enjoy this message. Hey, how are you?
Hello, how you hello, doing? Beautiful. I am doing fantastic, actually. I'm terrified because I'm excited to be here, but I'm terrified to be here.
I love that. You're gonna have to what they say, patent that, terrified.
Honestly, I can't even do that. I got that from my tribe, my accountability community. We all just use that word, so we probably all gonna have to patent it. And piece it up together.
I love that. I'm gonna use that. Well, you know, we content creators, so I'm gonna repurpose it.
That's right.
I love that.
It's yours to borrow, sis.
So tell the people who you are a little bit about yourself.
Oh man, this question always is something that it's like eating a slice of humble pie, because every time I think of who is Kima, I just look at who I used to be, and then I think of who I am now. So I'm Kima. I'm the queen of possibilities. I'm known as the girl that didn't like the cards that life dealt me. So I decided to reshuffle that deck and live life based on my possibilities rather than the probabilities given by life. So now I just show people how to show up, how to do it authentically, how to do it unapologetically, how to do it boldly. So that's just me. I'm an ordinary girl just deciding every day to make one more extraordinary move. So that's just it.
It's nothing
so major. And I think that's what I've realized through my journey. Like when I introduce myself, a lot of the times I'm introduced as like an expert. And it's like, yeah, I know a lot. Yeah, I've been through a lot, but I'm just a woman. I'm a woman just like you. I've just grown through so much, experienced so much. And I know that my story isn't for me. It's for me to share. So that's just about me. I'm here on a journey of sharing me unapologetically and allowing you to know that you're not alone in this season, no matter what that looks like.
And I love that you say that, because there are so many people that are smiling. And that's what the premise of the podcast is about. The blemished beauty is all about being beautiful on the outside, but you're broken on the inside. And a lot of the times we always say, oh, I'm okay, and knowing that we're not okay. So this podcast is a platform for those who do that and let them know that it's okay, one, to not be okay. And then two, how do we get from
not being okay to becoming okay. And then three, getting those tips and those steps and those things that you need. So when you know better, you can do better and you can show up in these spaces happier, healed and whole, right? Because they always say that hurt people, but they never talk about healed people, healing people. So we want to, you know, show that component of what healing looks like. And really try to figure out, you know, how we can help others heal. Because usually when you go through a thing and then you heal from said thing, people don't really come back for the ones that's still broken. We take our healing, we hoard it, and we go about our business. So if we do more of the reaching back, then it'll be more of a better outcome, in my opinion, because if you always go back for your brother or your sister, like you said, tell your story. The Bible talks about we are overcome by our testimonies. If we had a lot more testimonies, a lot more people would feel the need that it's okay to step out of this fear that they're in. When people are quiet, it doesn't give people something to look forward to or become that possibility for them, right? So
absolutely.
Tell everybody a little bit of your journey and how did you get to this place of being the queen of possibilities?
Oh my gosh. So you hit it dead on the nail. It's a journey. Like I'm still on it. And I think it's such a beautiful process because it reminds me every day that I haven't arrived anywhere. Like I can get to the highest level. I can unlock all of these amazing things, but I'm still growing into the best, better version of me. So I think number one is just to understand that you haven't arrived anywhere. You're not going to arrive anywhere because when you get here, after wanting to strive to be here for so long, you realize here is really where you want to be. So it's just always a work in progress. I'm always a work in progress. So just a little bit about my navigation on grief. Honestly, every time that I have this conversation, I look back and I say, what was the first thing that I really lost that really hurt me? And I realized it was my home. Like I can talk about the relationships I lost, people I lost, things I lost, but that losing my home, that was a very pivotal moment in my life. Because I grew up in this home. My whole family and I were attached to this home. And then one day, it just wasn't available anymore to us. One day, as I was literally doing my makeup, getting ready to go to work, the fire marshals were illegally changing my locks. And I hear my mother just pleading, trying to see what's going on. And it was just like, that was the moment that I realized everything is about to change. What you know is not what you know anymore. Like everything that I knew, it completely went out the window. So that was the first moment that I realized that I was dealing and navigating through grief, because grief is always attached to a person that died. But in that moment, I realized that I lost a piece of me. I lost who I thought I was going to grow into. I always had a vision of bringing my mother's grandchildren, when I have children, to that home, to that space. So all of my visions, all of my dreams, all of my goals, all of those things shifted because of that one moment. So I just remember, staying in a hotel at the time. And this was one of the most vulnerable moments of my life because I didn't have money to buy clothes. I didn't have money to buy the things that I wanted, but we had to have the money to pay to stay in this hotel. And I remember paying $190, money that we didn't even have, to stay another night in this hotel. This hotel that I thought was so shabby and we were so above it, but this is where we were. And I realized that what my outside was a representation of my inside. See, I was broken. I didn't even see how broken I was. I didn't realize how broken I was because, like you said earlier, we walk around and we wear the mask. We try to pretend everything is okay, everything is all right. And I was in this relationship that I outgrown. Mm-hmm. I was in this, you know, in this phase of life where it was time for me to step into more of me. And I always say that I thought I was living and I thought I was doing things for my community, but it was for me. Because I was so broken that I wanted, when the light shined, I wanted y'all to see my greatness. I wanted y'all to see that I was this amazing person doing amazing things, but it was all for me. It was a front. It was a facade to make it seem like I was doing something amazing. And as amazing as those things were, it wasn't for the people. So at that moment, I realized, whoa, I'm not living in congruency with who I really say I want to be, the change that I really say I want to make. So it gave me a moment to look at things differently. I got a chance to change the lens. And that's one of the steps that I would really recommend someone out there to do, is change the way that you look at it. Because when you look at things differently, it appears different, even though nothing about the situation changed. Even though I didn't get the keys back to my apartment, even though we still had to stay in hotels, even though some family members weren't able to accommodate us, I had to look at that differently. And it was hard because I lived in the basement of life. I was a victim. Everything was happening to me. Everything was somebody else's fault, especially during the season. So I had to learn how to navigate it not being anybody's fault and me take accountability for my life and for where I want to be. And that was hard because I didn't know about housing. I didn't know about all of these things, but it was my moment to step into it. And I look at it so differently now. That was my moment for myself and my family to lay the foundation for us to be closer than close. Because we lived in the same house, we were just on different ends of the spectrum. I was on over here, focused on this, growing this. My family is here. Everybody was just on different ends of the spectrum. So that moment gave me the opportunity to say, how can we come together? What is it that I can do? How can I love my family right here as they are? I don't want my mom to be any different. I don't want my brother to be any different. I want them to be who they are right here in this season, and I want to be able to love them. So that was my steps. That was my goals of navigating that grief. And that helped me. That laid the framework for everything else that came after.
I love that you said that because that reminded me of COVID. COVID did the same thing. Well, it was supposed to. It was supposed to really give you that sense to say, okay, is this situation good? Was this situation bad? A lot of people found out that they was married to people that they didn't really like. Or they was in relationships with people that they didn't really like. You know, like you deal, like you said, you exist together. But can you live together? Like, do you like this person? You know, jobs, different things like that. It really took people, well, it should have been an awakening for people to really do some self-reflection on where they are and who they're with and what's going on. Because when God really decided to open it back up, are you going to do the same things? Are you going to be around the same people? What lessons did you learn? And a lot of the times we get focused on the hurt that we miss the lesson in the thing. So I'm really glad that you took that time and you expressed how, you know, you learned in that the value of family, the value of quality time, the value of just being grateful, right? Because you didn't have the money to do said things, but you still were covered, as opposed to being in other situations where some families, they weren't blessed to stay together after that. They had to be displaced and in different directions. So you guys were still able to maintain that nucleus, that family, you know what I mean? So in that, be grateful. And that's another thing that people need to realize too with grief, that sometimes it is very tragic, whatever the loss is, whether it's a family, friend, house, whatever. But there is also beautiful things to look at, too, to hold on to, lessons to learn. Like with the passing of my uncle, everybody was sad. Thank you. It took us off guard. Whenever it's just like sudden, that's the worst, because you can't prepare for it or the things like that. But the impact that he had on people's lives, that was a beautiful thing. That was a lesson and a testament to us to say, okay, what are we doing? Will we have this same legacy when it's our time to go? Will people be saying great things about us, or will they be saying bad things about us? And these are the things you don't think about, you know, when you're just existing through life, you're just going day to day and you thinking you living, but then you get into a moment where you're like, no, I'm not really living. I'm existing. Like, I'm not happy. I'm not where I want to be. Like, this is existing. So how did you get to a place where you were just like, okay, this is what I'm about to do. I'm about to teach others how to, you know, focus on the possibilities and live their best life.
So this is going to be a funny story. I opened up with the loss of my home. And now I'm going to open up another womb of mine. And that's when I lost my dad. See, 2020, I remember sitting down and I'm scrolling on social media. And then I come across this picture and I'm thinking this post is going to be like a happy birthday post or just a regular shout out post. But then it just said, rest in peace, Uncle G-Well. And I couldn't believe it, because in that moment, I'm seeing someone say rest in peace to my dad, someone I haven't spoken to in years. Someone that I didn't know was sick or anything was happening to him. Wow. So that shook my core, because I didn't realize how hurtful that situation would have been. Like, when you're not around someone, and I always say my parents, they did the best they could with what they had. And my dad was on a long-term timeout. You know, he was in jail. So he wasn't able to be fully present in my life, but he did the best that he could. He always sent me birthday cards. He always tried to make sure that we were connected with one another. And all of those memories play back. I wasn't no longer the woman that was navigating through life that made peace with the fact that I didn't grow up with my dad. I became that little girl that was searching for her dad. I became that 8-year-old girl that wanted to know, where's my dad? So it was tough. It was tough. And I remember giving a speech on grief, because at that moment, I felt like I was being tested to do the things that I knew. See, there's gaps. There's knowing, there's doing, and then there's living. See, I knew a lot of things. I lost my house, and that put me on a journey of personal development, self-mastery. I was learning my stuff. I was growing. I was recovering, undiscovering, whatever we want to call it. I was just doing all of these amazing things. And then when that moment happened, I just remember feeling 8 years old and not able to move. But I just remember knowing that my story isn't for me. I remember hearing that I'm supposed to share the things that I experienced. So I shared it. I shared that moment of finding grace through my grief. I didn't have a speech. It was clunky. It was crazy sounding, but people resonated with it. And that was the moment that I realized, okay, I could do this. I could talk to people. I could help them see their light, even when I'm still in darkness. See, when I lost my dad, I was in this place called the dark night. I wasn't quite who I wanted to be, but that old version of me, I wasn't that either. I was in the middle, so it was dark. It was dark, and it was so scary, because I knew that I wanted to help people, but I didn't know how. I knew that I wanted to tell my story, but I didn't know how. I didn't know how to tell a story that would impact lives, that would help people move from point A to point B. I didn't care about them moving to point D. I just wanted them to know that they could get up.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to do that. And until I realized that I had to live it, I had to do it. I had to, everything that told me that, I remember when my grandfather passed away, God rest his soul, his birthday just recently passed. And I remember when I came across something that said, we never leave our body. We leave our bodies, but we're never really leaving this planet. I remember coming across that. And I was like, wow, that sounds like something that I should carry in my pocket for grandpa. So I always would say, like, my grandfather's with me. So I had to transfer that to my father's always with me. And then I was coming across all of these things that I felt was confirmation and reminding me that he's with me. His spirit is with me. I would never forget. I was playing around on the steps, putting on my jacket, and I ended up falling backwards. And there was nobody, nothing behind me that could stop my fall. And my friend reached out like, no. And at that moment, I felt this push. And I just heard like, get up there. And it just felt like something from a parent. Like, don't do that again. Like, you know, when you're about to touch a stove, you just get that pop. Like, that's just what it felt like. Just felt like, don't do that again. Like, please be careful. So from that moment, I always said, okay, I can do this thing. I can hold on to the belief that I'm embracing your new form. I can always hold on to the belief that you are with me. And that helped. And I was moving. I was moving, sis. I was doing a lot. I was helping people. I was giving tips. I was moving. And then August 1st, 2023, that's the day I lost my little brother. And that's the day that things crippled me. Like, I didn't know how to navigate through grief with my dad, but with my brother, I didn't know how to walk.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to be okay. I didn't know how to step into my greatness. I didn't even know that my greatness exists. I didn't know any of that because August 1st, my life changed. I just spent time planning my entire birthday week. My birthday is August 6th.
Wow.
So I spent all this time, all this energy planning my birthday. I was so focused on my birthday that I ended up feeling like I missed the moments. See, when we talk about grief, we got to talk about regret. And there's this negative connotation around regret where it's like, oh, we don't want to live in regret. I don't want to live in regret. But regret just means that I would never do that again. It just reminds you that something is so important that you would never do it again. And I had to remind myself in that moment that I would never be there, but not be there. Yeah. And I know that my brother feels differently. I know that I look at it differently than how it probably played out. But I just remember being so focused and fixated on my birthday. I was like, I want to do this. And I told him, I was like, we're going to do this together, but this is what I'm going to do with my friends. But July 31st, we had such a good time. We had a good time. Like, we had a ball. It almost felt like we were kids again, just sitting and laughing and talking. And then just to hear the peace that was in his voice, that's what I was left with. See, that next day, August 1st, I was standing in my living room and I realized right then and right there that as that sun was shining through the window, as I was hearing the kids play outside, as I was hearing the birds chirping, I realized that life was still moving on. But I felt stuck in place. I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. So when we talk about getting into the queen of possibilities, showing people what's possible, you have to be willing to face the times when you break down because your breakdown is getting you to your breakthrough.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, I didn't know at that time, sis, that my test, the biggest test in my life, I didn't know that that was getting me and writing and creating the testimony. I just knew I lost my brother. And then I realized that there's stages of this thing called grief. There's stages.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It is. It definitely is. But you know, the like you said, the biggest test is the ultimate testimony. And if you pay attention to, again, going back to what we were saying before, the lesson in it, you will understand that your purpose is underlined in there somewhere too. This podcast is built off of my healing journey from losing my daughter to being, from leaving my ex-husband and all the things. And in that, that created my purpose to start to talk more, start to, you know, bring awareness to certain things and give people tips and tools that I didn't have, you know, and become the difference maker. So with your situation, it's the same thing. You are becoming the difference maker for someone else because you didn't have that. So we have to show up and become the change that we want to see. And, you know, I commend you for just taking it on because it could have went another way. You could have totally took that grief and went through depression and stayed there. But now you are turning it into, well, I got to get this out. Let me say what's going on with me. What happened to me? I can't tell you X, Y, and Z, but I could tell you what I did. And then hopefully that will empower you to take some steps and try your way, you know, because everybody's way is different. Everybody's recipe is different. So I want you to take this last moment to just, you know, talk to the people, encourage people who is going through grief right now, whether it's a job or themselves or the idea of what they thought their life would look like, but it totally went another way. Just give them a few moments of inspiration and empowerment.
So I just want to talk to you. You see, I'm crying. It's not all there. I want you to know that it's okay. It's okay. It's these moments that sometimes we run away from. It's these moments where we don't want to face it sometimes to fix it, but you have to be willing to look at you. Look at the pain and understand that the pain is going to get you to the purpose. Allow the pain to push so your vision can pull. See, I'm not saying that it's going to be okay right away. You lost that job. You lost that person. You lost that relationship. You lost that thing that means so much to you. So I'm not here to minimize that. I'm not here to act like it doesn't exist. I'm not here to rewrite it. I'm just here to remind you that the pen is in your hand. I'm here to remind you that that story called your life, you're the author that gets to write it. I'm here to remind you that those things, those people, those places, all of those things were supporting actors to that story that you're writing for you. It supports the amazing person called you. So I want you to just know that it's okay. I want you to be willing to step into you, your greatness. And you may not know what that is right now. All you may be able to do is get up. And once you get up, you can stand up. You can stay still. You can walk. I don't want you to run. I want you to just know that you can walk and know that you're able to navigate to a new space. Just believe that you can. But here's another thing I want to open your mind to, because it may be so hard for you to believe that you can. So until you can, I want to hold space for you. I want to hold space for you so that you can know that your greatness is on the other side. I want to shine my light so bright that you can be that lost ship that find your way, because my light is shining so bright. See, I'm not here to tell you how to navigate your grief. I'm just here to show you that there's a way to navigate your grief. I can't give you any magic sprinkle fairy dust. I can just only give you my real. I can only put the skin in, because it's through my experience. It's through my frame of reference. It's through the things that I thought that was going to break me that actually shaped me into the best version of myself. So I just want you to know that this thing, this heartbreak, this pain, this guilt, this shame, this depression, all of the things that you feel, this anger, I want you to thank it. I want you to thank it for how far it's getting you. Thank the grief for how far it's gotten you. But I want you to thank it and put it down, because it can't come to you in this next level. It can't come to you in this next season. So what I want to invite you to do is just understand through your grief, there's some grace. There's a way that you can look at it differently. There's a way that you can see that that person, that place, that thing is not in pain anymore. There's a way for you to look at the fact that you're not in pain, that you're growing, that you get to rediscover, uncover something in you that you didn't know exists, because this gift was wrapped to you in sandpaper and plexiglass, and it may hurt, but there's something amazing on the inside. So I just want to invite you to be willing to hold it, invite you to be willing to look at it and understand that it's going to get you to the other side.
I love that. I appreciate you so much for coming on and just being transparent and vulnerable about your journey and your story and just shining your light and being who you are. And I want you to continue to do what it is that God is leading you to do, because you are doing amazing things. It's not easy to be a light when you are going through dark times. So just continue to hold on that, you know, you are somebody that people need. And it's like you said, it's not about you. It's about that other person. And God is going to give you everything that you need to continue to do whatever it is that you need to do to make everybody understand the value in getting to the place of accepting the possibilities, because it's needed.
Yes, yes, it is. It is, because, and I just really want to say this, because I didn't realize that there were stages of grief. I didn't realize that there was the denial. There's that moment where you don't want it to be real. You look for every other possible explanation. You try to create something else, and you just want to do everything but accept what actually happened. That's the first stage, denial. And then it's that anger, because then you realize it happened. And I didn't deserve this. I didn't deserve to lose my house. I didn't deserve to lose my loved one. I didn't deserve to lose the life that I thought I would live. I don't deserve this. So then you go into the anger, and then the denial. It's like a balance, because you can't believe it happened. Then it's like, did it really happen? What's happening right now? And then you go into bargaining. Now, this is a tricky one, because I like to call it the Malcolm in the middle. It's like that space where I'm either gonna jump back to stage one, or that I'm gonna continue on and move on in my journey. So you bargain, ask the what if questions. In my case, I had a dream before my brother died. I had a dream that he ran through a building, and I was in the building, and I looked back and I said, well, where are you going? And then when I woke up, I was someplace else. So I had that impulse. I had that thought to tell him, like, stay out of buildings. But I never told him, because in my mind, I don't want to put negativity in the air. I don't want to speak on that. I just want to put positivity in the air. So I started to bargain, like, what if I would have said something? He would probably be here. You know, I started to ask disempowering questions, but then it started to help me see the light, in a sense, because I realized that God don't make no mistakes.
Amen.
Where we want to put a comma, there's been a period, and that period has been put for a reason. I didn't know how, I didn't know why, I didn't have any explanation, and that put me in depression. I didn't even realize I was depressed. I just didn't want to work. I didn't want to work. I didn't want to speak. I didn't want to coach. I just wanted to visit my brother's memorial every chance that I got. And I just wanted to spread love. I didn't realize that I was in depression, because I was still bargaining. Well, what if I do this? What if I do that? Am I going to be moving into my greatness? And then I just accepted. I accepted not just what happened to him, because nothing happened to him. It happened for him. It happened for him to get into alignment, because we have to wake up every day and get into alignment, but he is in alignment. He's in alignment with the best version of himself. No resistance. He's with that masterpiece called God. So there's nothing for me to be upset at. In fact, now I get the opportunity to embrace it. Now I have this beautiful spirit that's always with me, that's always that's always helping guide me. So I was able to navigate all of those stages. And it's not easy because sometimes I go back into the bargaining stage. Sometimes I go back into that wanting to get angry, but I remind myself that he's okay. And because he's okay, I'm okay. And me being clear allows me to be connected. So yeah, that's just the best thing that I could offer to someone, is just understanding and giving yourself grace as you navigate through the grief, all stages. Give yourself grace, because that's not going to come from anyone else. It comes from you.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much for coming on and being a guest on the platform. I really appreciate it. So you guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. And most of all, I hope you really honed in on the nuggets that were placed on today. Grief is something that you don't have to endure by yourself, but grief is also something that will help you get to a place where you can tap into your purpose once you understand the silver lining behind it. You don't get over it. You just move forward and you learn how to navigate life as such. So with that being said, I want you guys to remember, as always, you have been graced and gifted for a time such as this. You have purpose in this world and you have been created to do great and amazing things. So until next episode, you guys, talk to you later.